I'm just.
What about your best breakfast gelato?
Raspberry cheesecake because it's got fruit and graham crackers in it.
Fruit and what?
Graham crackers.
Oh, graham crackers and fruit. That sounds like a good breakfast. I'll have a scoop of that and a waffle cone.
For sure.
Because the waffle cone makes it even more nutritional.
Exactly.
So, excellent.
Don't want vanilla church. I'd never heard it put that way before. I'd heard it put different ways, but that way just kind of captured it. It was basically people saying, we don't want the same old, same old. We don't want to go through the motions, to go through the cycles without any sense of progress or any sense of God's presence, really. And I really believe the intent behind that, the craving that shows, is something that's actually planted by the Spirit of God Himself. He doesn't want vanilla church either. One year at our district pastors and spouses retreat, as there always is, there was a lot of great teaching and rich worship and lots of interactions. And in one of the sessions, I was just kind of mulling on the things I've been learning and hearing and God had been doing in my life. And I had this thought. And the thought was that if the power of God released in my life was limited to what I could contain, control, understand, or explain, then far less would be accomplished for the cause of Christ through my life than God intends. And I very quickly drew a little picture that kind of captured it. This picture kind of showed up at the same time, and here's the picture. That person represents me or maybe you. And that container there is a pill bottle with the lid clipped on. And that little ball of light represents the life of Christ or the Spirit of God that I or we are attempting to contain, control, understand, or explain. And it illustrates the idea that we can be indwelt by the Spirit of God but not filled with the Spirit of God, that we can be in our own way contributing to vanilla. Same old, same old. That we can give lip service to wanting God to do something, but we ourselves can be the bottleneck.
The Holy Spirit was involved in creation. He inspired the scriptures, its poetry and stories and prophecies. It was the power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He gives good gifts to God's people. He speaks to and changes hearts. When He shows up, there is love, joy, peace, and all those amazing things. There is nothing vanilla about the Holy Spirit. If you are in control, or I am in control, that's guaranteed vanilla, bland, because it will be one-dimensional. It will be what we are comfortable with and can contain and control and explain, and it will be less than He intends. So every individual follower of Jesus, every individual church, has the option of a vanilla future or a Holy Spirit-directed 52 flavors future, which means a joyfully unlimited future. Which one will it be? It really comes down to this question. Who's in charge? You? Or me? Or Him?
Last week we saw in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 that in light of the high calling we received, we are invited into a worthy walk, a walk marked by unity and maturity and nonconformity. And today's passage really fits into that nonconformity category and really brings it up to another level. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord,
always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was filled with the Spirit for the first time that I can tell at the age of 20. And I look at the transformation that happened in my life, and I think back to how different high school would have been, and those first few years out of high school, if I had not been the one at the wheel, but if the Lord had been in control. I was living in my weakness rather than in His strength. But it really doesn't matter what age we're talking about. We are either wallowing around in our own weakness, floundering, spineless, incapable of doing anything that really seems to matter for eternity, or we have the Spirit at work in our lives in a powerful way. See the answer to one-dimensional vanilla Christianity, vanilla church, is the work and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And just before we jump into it, I just want to offer a little warning to anyone who's tempted to be moving into the line of thinking, you know, been there, done that, don't need to hear this. What you need to hear is that yesterday doesn't matter. Yesterday doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what you experienced yesterday or last week or last fall or 10 years ago or in 1972. It doesn't matter if you were once filled with the Holy Spirit and saw God do some great things in and through you. What about today? Are you filled with Him, controlled by Him, today? Every one of us has our own preconceived ideas of what our church would look like, what it would mean for the church to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, or experience revival, or see a move of God. And those ideas, those pictures, are probably wrong. Because God has a unique vision and dream for your church in this time and place, and we need to surrender our ideas and preferences, or we will be a hindrance to what He wants to do. We will be fighting for our ideas, thinking they are His. One person who has studied revival observed, the greatest hindrance to revival are the leaders of the last revival. We tend to want to systematize God and normalize our own experiences. We say, this is what happened in my life, or this is what happened in the favorite church I ever attended. This is what happened in this church 30 years ago. Therefore, it needs to happen in your life and this church just like that today. No, it doesn't. The Holy Spirit is not vanilla. So let's not try to project our own ideas of what God will do here and now and in the next season of our lives or our church based on our past experiences.
All right, let's jump into it. The biggest question people tend to have about this work of the Spirit is not how do I get filled, really. It's actually, the big question seems to be, what does it look like? Well, let me unpack that for you in a way that maybe you've never heard before. Number one, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. When we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're not talking about some kind of spatial thing where He fills up all the empty air pockets in our lives, the gaps between ourselves, and spatially fills us up. The passage says, don't be drunk on wine, which is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Don't be under the influence of alcohol, be under the influence of the Spirit. Don't be under the control of alcohol, be controlled by the Spirit. The issue actually is control. We see in Galatians 5 that we're either living according to the flesh, you know, the me first selfish part of us, or according to the Spirit. And Galatians 5 talks about what that looks like. And so it's important to understand that being filled with the Spirit means being controlled by the Spirit, living the life of the Spirit. Second important point is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And there are some of God's traits that He passes on to us in some way, and one of them we know is power. In Acts chapter 1:8, Jesus told His disciples, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so one result of the fullness of the Spirit, of the control of the Spirit, is power. Power to do what Jesus has called us to do. Power to take a stand, power to speak boldly. And it is almost always related to bringing people to Jesus. How do we know if we're filled with the Spirit? Do we have the power to do what we're being called to do? You know, I used to think that, you know, being filled with the Spirit would mean having this, you know, this sense of spiritual invincibility. this, you know, nothing can stop me. But I found that it's quite different than that most of the time. That really it's the sense of my great inadequacy, my inability, my weakness, and this incredible sense of His power and His strength and His enabling. I call it, in contrast to self-confidence, I call it God-confidence. And over the years, my confidence in Darren has continued to decrease, and my confidence in Christ in me has continued to increase. What does it look like? We're filled with the Spirit. Well, there is some power to do what God calls us to do. The Holy Spirit, this is a third important point. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the pure, different Spirit, the righteous Spirit. Chuck Colson put it this way. He said, conformity to the character of God and obedience to the will of God is holiness. And so the Holy Spirit will move us towards the character of God, towards obedience to God. You know, we often like to say, you know, come as you are to Jesus. And that's true, but it's incomplete. The call really is come as you are and be transformed by the Holy Spirit to be made more like Jesus. And so one of the questions, one of the answers to the question, are you filled with the Spirit, is, are you different? Are you different and becoming more different, more like Jesus? And that's the fourth important point. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit, when He's in charge, will make us more like Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus. Now, sometimes you may bump into, in Christian circles, people who are very bold, and they we might use the word anointed for them, and they look like they're filled with the Spirit, but when you look at them, they're actually not like Jesus. The traits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, those things seem to be absence. And if that's the case, we need to question that anointing. We need to question that maturity. See, it's really time for followers of Jesus Christ to quit putting up with ungodly Christian leaders, no matter how effective they may seem to be. The church cannot afford ungodly Christian leaders. In fact, I recall one well-known Christian leader who knew many high-level Christian leaders made the observation and said, you know, he made it as a side comment in a course he was teaching, he said, you know, a lot of well-known Christian leaders are not godly people. Well, if we're not godly people, He's not in charge. He's not in control. And of course, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, and Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and He called His followers to follow Him and fish for people, and He is the one who God sent to be the Savior. Because that's who Jesus is, that if we are filled with the Spirit and controlled by the Spirit, there's going to be this sense of compassion for those who are far from God. There's going to be this participation with Him in reaching them. So we just need to be clear that no matter how gifted we are, how passionate we seem to be, if we don't care about people who are lost, who are far from God, if our life is in not some way shaped by that fact that they need Jesus, we need to question who's really in charge. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You'll receive power when the Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit was poured out to make people like Jesus and to bring people to Jesus. Not merely to give Christians a buzz. In so many places, it seems like that's the end game. No, that's not it. It's about making us like Jesus and bringing people to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, the powerful Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. Imagine a person, imagine a church controlled by that Spirit. That would not be vanilla. See, the answer to a vanilla church or vanilla Christianity is not the right program, not the right pastor, the right facility, the right music, the right anything that we can do or orchestrate in our own strength, but rather the fullness, the control, the infinitely creative Holy Spirit of God. So, how is one filled with the Spirit? It's almost offensively simple, kind of like salvation. We believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture, that the actual words used, that the grammatical side of the words used is actually important, inspired by the Spirit. And so I want to give you a very brief grammar lesson on Ephesians 5:18, where it calls us to be filled with the Spirit. And I promise it won't be too painful. Be filled with the Spirit. This is a command. It's an imperative. We are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This command was and is written to Christians, indicating that it's possible to be a Christian and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Think of that picture of the pill bottle. Think about that for a second. It's possible to be a Christian and not be filled with the Spirit. Everyone who comes to Jesus is immediately baptized in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and indwelt by the Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit if you're a follower of Jesus, but does He have you? This command is also written in plural form, that is, to the entire church, not just individuals. We as a group are commanded to be filled. When we read this verse, as we with most verses, we immediately think of ourselves as individuals in relation to God. And so we often think of the Christian life as being about me and my walk with God. It's not. It's about me and God and my fellow believers and an unbelieving world. And we as a church, as a people, are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The command is in what's called the passive voice. It doesn't say, fill yourself, you know, grit your teeth and somehow generate it within you. It says, be filled. It's something that happens to you. God is the one, the Spirit is the one that does the filling. And finally, this command is in the present tense that indicates a continuous, ongoing, repeated action. That is very, very important. We're not talking about a once-for-all event. We're talking about something that happens a first time, but that needs to happen again and again and again daily or as new challenges arise. That's why yesterday's experience doesn't count in determining your present filling. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see that as new opportunities and challenges arose, the same disciples are repeatedly filled with the Holy Spirit. So we are all commanded to be continually, repeatedly filled with, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Do you ever struggle with God's will, knowing what God's will is? Well, here's a question. Is it God's will that we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah, it's pretty clear that it is. It says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It's pretty clear that it's God's will we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, let's just link that to an important principle in 1 John chapter 5, where it says in 1 John 5, verse 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. According to that verse, what happens if we ask for something that we know is God's will? It happens. Is it God's will to fill you with His Spirit? Yes. What will happen if you ask Him to fill you with His Spirit? It'll happen. And that is all you really need to know. We don't need to overcomplicate this. Now, common biblical practice, if you look at Scripture, very common for Spirit-filled believers to lay hands on other believers for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a biblical pattern. But we see there's other situations that happen. Sometimes the people are filled with the Spirit apart from that. And I'm one of people filled with the Spirit walking down the street or on their knees or in some other situation. The Spirit is not bound by our past experiences or someone else's past experiences. But when we ask for something He wants. In this case, asking for the fullness of the Spirit. We're asking for something He wants, something He craves, and so we can ask with faith. We can ask with expectancy. I ask to be filled with the Spirit every day, sometimes multiple times a day. Well, what happens? What happens when you're filled with the Spirit? What happens when you're filled with the powerful, Holy Spirit of Jesus, that Spirit? Well, sometimes there's an immediate indication that something has happened. Again, the biblical pattern, the gift of tongues, very, very common. Not in every case, but very, very common. Now, some churches tend to force it and make, you know, everybody supposed to speak in tongues all the time. And, you know, when that happens, I kind of smell vanilla. Let's not try to restrict them too much. Don't limit what God may do. In Acts chapter 4, we see that the disciples were filled with the Spirit, spoke the word boldly. In Acts 7, Stephen was filled with the Spirit, testified boldly, and died a martyr's death. In Acts 13, Paul is filled with the Spirit, exposes a spiritual fraudster. In the same chapter, the disciples are continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, when you're filled with the Spirit, when you ask to be filled with the Spirit, and you know it's His will, it's simply a faith transaction. You ask, and you believe, and you carry on. And then you're going through your day, and you're going through your week, and then something happens, or you do something that is out of the ordinary, that you recognize is coming from a source of strength, direction, wisdom, outside of yourself. It may be that this temptation that you face so many times and fallen flat on your face, you face that temptation and you overcome. Or it may be that you're confronted with an opportunity to take a stand for Christ, and where in the past you would have backed down and withered, you take a bold stand. Or someone shares with you some situation in their life, maybe a physical problem, and in the past you would have said, you know, I'll pray for you, or you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you, but you feel moved to lay your hand on them and pray for them and ask for God to work. And God moves and does something that you couldn't do. And you find that you've entered this new life, this phase of life we call, you know, the Spirit-filled life, which is really the normal, the non-vanilla, the 52 unlimited flavors, infinitely full and meaningful, abundant life that He attends for us. But I think it's really important to remember that when we ask to be filled with the Spirit, what we're actually asking for. You're not asking for an add-on, for a new accessory or some spiritual bling for the journey. You are asking to be taken over, controlled by the Holy Spirit of the all-powerful God Himself, the Spirit of Jesus, the resurrected Lord. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, so well described by James Emery White, means that He occupies and controls every area of our lives. He occupies and controls every area of our church. And if that doesn't make you at least a little bit fearful, you don't understand. Because for that to happen, something needs to die. Someone needs to die. Because if He's in control, I'm not. And you're not. But it's where we're called to live. An old verse by A.B. Simpson called Take Him. It says, are you waiting for the Spirit and the fullness of His power? Yield yourself in full surrender and He'll come this very hour. Like the light that pours from heaven, like the streams that flow so free, God is giving, always giving. All the hindrance is with thee. And so I want to encourage every person, every pastor, every elder, every member, every attendee of this church, every Christian who hears this, to put themselves in the place, to ask for the fullness of the Spirit, to be willing to be fully occupied and controlled by the powerful Holy Spirit of Jesus. We don't know in advance all that that means. There is some uncertainty to that, but it's an uncertainty that puts us in the hands of the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. Are you prepared to take that risk? To ask Him to occupy and control every area of your life?
Oh God, not bound by time or space or technology or meeting restrictions or economics or politics, or our tiny distracted minds and low expectations. We need You. Thank You, Jesus, for sending Your Spirit. Thank You, Spirit, for residing in us. Fill us, refill us, make us like Jesus. May our lives and our church and our generation not be limited to what we can contain, control, understand, or explain. May Your kingdom come and Your will be done in and through us, by Your power, in Jesus' name, and for His glory.